Well, as you're taking a seat, the men are going to be coming forward. And if you do not have a Bible this morning, please put your hand in the air and these men will make sure that you get one. You can use that to follow along in today's service. We now come to the point in our service where we get to celebrate the Lord's death by taking a piece of bread and drinking of a cup. And in our time of scripture reading this morning, we read from 1 John 5, and we'll be looking again at that passage. So open in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, and we will be looking at verse 18. And as you turn there, if I can remind you what we read at the beginning of this section, in verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." In other words, how can a believer in Jesus Christ know for certain that they have eternal life? And throughout the book of 1 John, John has given a number of tests to be able to identify who is a true Christian. And they will expose phony believers and false teachers, but while also giving increasingly stronger confidence and assurance to genuine believers. And in this closing section, John focuses our attention on a number of certainties. In addition to eternal life that the believer presently has. And so in preparation for us to celebrate our time of communion, let's look at verse 18, at Jesus' promise to genuine believers to have victory over sin. Verse 18, we read, "We know that no one who has been born of God sins. But he who was begotten of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him." That one who has been begotten of God is the one who was born of God. This is speaking of Christ himself. I bet you didn't know 1 John 5:18 was a Christmas verse. But we read here, "We know that no one who has been born of God sins." What does it say? The one who has been born of God, who has experienced the new birth, does not live in an unbroken pattern of sin. This does not mean believers can reach a point in their life where they never sin. In fact, John said that those who make such claims in chapter 1 are actually self-deceived. And he even includes himself in that. And when he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. In fact, John's description of Jesus as our advocate in chapter 2 assumes that we will continue to sin and we will continue to have a need of one who advocates and intercedes on our behalf. The point here is that a pattern of righteousness will characterize those who have been born of God. So what is the good news then for those who believe that we who are in Christ are no longer enslaved to sin? Its power over us has been broken. And though we still sin and we fall into sin as genuine believers, we will have victory over sin and we will never fall back into a pattern of unbroken sin. Why? Well, look at verse 18. "Because he who was begotten of God," that is Jesus Christ, "keeps him." Believer, we are no longer under sin slavery because Jesus, the good shepherd, who laid his life down for the sheep, and who said in John 10 that no one snatches them out of my hand, that one keeps us. As believers whose lives give evidence of the work of the Spirit, we can have confidence that we are in the firm grasp of the Savior. And notice when he says in the last part of the verse, "and the evil one does not touch him." Jesus protects his sheep so that the evil one, that is Satan, does not lay hold or fasten his grip around us. We are not under sin's control. We are not under Satan's control, his dominion. We've been rescued from that domain of darkness. As Christians, we are We are called to actively pursue lives of continued obedience to our Savior out of our love for him, all the while recognizing that it is the one who keeps us, our shepherd, our Savior, who preserves us. Believer, this morning, as we take the bread and the cup to remember Christ's death on our behalf, who purchased the forgiveness for our sins, satisfying God's wrath against sin in our place, we get to remember and rejoice and celebrate that together, everyone who is in Christ this morning. And so if you are in Christ this morning, take this with us, join us. The standard isn't perfection, but being in Christ, who enables us to turn from lives dominated by sin. So this morning, as you prepare yourself, take a few moments to confess any known sin to the Lord, asking him to help you turn from it, and then rejoice in his promise of eternal life and his assurance of the believer's freedom from slavery and his assurance that you are in his hands, the one who keeps you. If you're not a follower of Jesus this morning in that way, how do you get eternal life? Not from cleaning yourself up. No, you must be born again. God must change you from the inside, which then produces a life that is characterized by no longer working and living and serving sin. And you can't do this on your own. But God actually delights in doing that for those who will come to him alone for salvation. And so if you are not in Christ this morning, when the trays come in front of you, we'd ask that you just would pass it. But we would love to talk to you later today about what it means to trust in Christ. I'm going to invite the men to come forward. And as you receive your cup and cups, hold on to them. And then a few moments after you've prepared yourself, we'll take them together as a body.